Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/the Delta Flyers.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
Robbie.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
We never do a full intro like that. It's been a while.
It's been a while, but our Patreon patrons have been so amazing.
Yes.
With this show, with the podcast, their involvement, not just their subscribing monthly or whatever, but their involvement in the Discord groups, in our Admiral chats every month, in their emails and Facebook participation, the groups that have gotten together. I got to say, we often talk about what we are wearing.
Yeah.
So today I am wearing some items that were sent to me as a holiday gift by our Delta Flyers JC Shippers group. And so what you see is a JC Shippers hat that they sent me, and it says hashtag JC deserved better.
Oh, JC right up deserved there. Better. Yes.
And then I am wearing the t-shirt they sent me, which see JC.
Yeah.
And it says invading your personal space since 2371.
And it's a J and a C. And inside the J is an image. It looks like a black and white and gray image of Chakotay. Yeah. And inside the C, there's an image of Janeway, which is kind of cool because you would think the J would be Janeway and then C would be Chakotay, but they reversed it.
But they're in love.
They're in love. It's a nice shirt.
They belong together, clearly. So this is what I'm talking about. Like, I want to thank our Patreon patrons because they get involved.
Yes.
They've connected with each other. I want to thank them personally. This wonderful gift was from Gemma, Kellen, Alexis, Steph, and Amanda. And I want to thank you so much for, I love this. I'm a full JC shipper myself now because of the Delta Flyers podcast. I cannot believe they never got together. It's shocking. All of the evidence.
There's
evidence in the episodes. You can see they belong together. What I love is the creativity. Like you said, it's a great, it's a really cool design.
It is very well done.
More importantly, our Delta Flyers fans understand the true nature of Janeway and Chakotay. And along with me, we all realize that they really do belong together. So anyway, that's my little update. But thanks to the JC Shippers and the Delta Flyers fans and the Patreon patrons that support us. We're having so much fun.
You know, I'm just thinking about, fans always talk about, there should be a Voyager movie. There should be a Voyager movie. And I was thinking, if there was one, the opening shot could be, you know, just it's dawn. It's an alarm clock goes off to for someone to wake up, and the camera pans up from the bottom of the bed, and it's basically older Janeway, older Chakotay in bed, waking up as a married couple. There you go.
She calls to the replicator. Replicator, two cups of coffee, black.
Two cups of Nebula coffee, please.
Nebula coffee. Yeah.
And that's where they've gone into business, and now they own Nebula
now
coffee.
She's got a coffee company. It's bigger than Starbucks.
That's right. She doesn't even need to be in Starbucks.
Nebula coffee.
Nebula coffee. Mm-hmm. I love it. All right. Okay. So that just showed up today or recently? When did you get
it
that?
It just showed up today. Yes.
Okay. That's wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. So this week's episode is The Omega Directive. Very cool title. Sounds cool. I like
it. You know why I like that? Because when I was a kid, my father loved this movie called The Omega Man with Charlton Heston, where he was
the last man alive.
Man alive, The Omega Man.
Was that your dad's film that he loved?
It was one of his favorite movies. Yeah, he loved Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And he loved The Omega Man.
Oh, wow.
The originals. And so this episode is kind of already, I want to see what's happening there because of the title. And
yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure Charlton Heston is not in this episode. So that is, that, I'm going to go on a limb and say he's not in there, but this could be a really, really good episode. We don't know. Right. So let's go watch this.
I can't wait to watch it.
We'll be right back with our discussion and recap of the Omega Directive. Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. All right, we are back from watching a very densely packed episode known as the Omega Directive. My goodness, I have to tell you, I had to rewind. I can't even count how many times I rewound different parts of the episode just to rehear different scenes because it just seems so, that script was chock full of lines and just compacted into this one 42 minute time period. And I'm shocked. It was almost like an episode of Gilmore Girls. It was like, good grief. How many lines can you cram in here? And not just regular lines. We're talking techno babble all over the place too.
Yeah. So. It was very sort of intellectual, this episode.
Yeah,
it was about like trying to understand the idea of a molecule being simultaneously the most dangerous thing to ever have existed and also the most beautiful, perfect thing for Seven. You know, it was how can this thing, I don't know, it was a weird argument to make. And it was hard for me, I'll be honest, to stay engaged with the story. It was dense. Yeah. I agree with you. Very dense.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. All right. Let's start up with our poetry synopsis of the episode Omega Directive. Yes. Here is my haiku for the Omega Directive.
Yes, sir.
Classified mission, the most powerful substance. Omega destroyed. That's it.
Wow. Yeah. That's nice. It's simple and it's kind of sad.
It's really sad.
And it's a little bit sad.
This episode left me sad at the very end. We'll talk more about it when we get to it, but I feel I feel bummed out after watching this ep.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear about that.
Yeah. Okay,
but let's have a little limerick action.
Yeah.
To
let's have a limerick. Yes.
Here we go. Our limerick for Omega Directive. Mm-hmm. Omega molecules are found in space. Janeway must get them and erase. Seven disagrees, but Janeway needs her expertise. Perfection disappears without a trace.
Oh,
bam, bam, bam.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Rabieka, you are so good.
Yes, yes, I love
that. Are you zzzing me?
That's for everybody out there.
That's my life.
Garrett's laugh, which Robert Beltran trademarked with the sounds like a bee buzzing.
It does.
It kind of starts off.
That's my old laugh. You haven't heard that in a while, though. That's my laugh on the show. Exactly. And that's me attempting to squelch.
Don't squelch it.
Well, you know, the true laugh, for those of you who've watched Amadeus with Tom Hulce in it, that laugh that Tom Hulce
that's your real laugh?
That's my real laugh. That's my real laugh that I had in high school, junior high school, grade school, and it's all over the place. It's super melodic and it's crazy. It doesn't sound like, it sounds fake. That's how exuberant it is, you know. It's just everywhere.
You just have to embrace it.
I had to squash it down, and that's why you got the bumblebee. You know, the bumblebee laugh is what it is. Oh my goodness! All right, good job on the limerick, my friend. Very good.
Thank you.
I liked it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so the Omega Directive teleplay by Lisa Klink, and this was her very last script that she wrote for Voyager. I know. She wrote the teleplay. Story is by Jimmy Diggs and Steve J.K.
We also have the director, Victor Lobel, who has directed before, right? This is not his first.
This, I think, was his second episode.
Voyager episode. That sounds about right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the guest star, Jeff Austin, do you have any words?
Yes, I do. We had a couple of speaking guest stars here, actually.
We did, but there was only credit for one, though, in the beginning.
Kevin McCorkle is the alien captain who we see on the view screen.
Okay.
And then we have Jeff Austin. So let's start with Jeff Austin.
Yeah.
Jeff Austin plays Alos is what he's credited as.
Okay.
He was not a newcomer to Star Trek because he was a Bullion security officer in DS9's third season episode, The Adversary.
A Bullion. So okay.
He was a Bullion security officer in that episode. Nice. So this was his second Trek makeup job that he went through.
Yeah, yet another alien.
Hmm? Yeah. Jeff Austin, it was born in 1954 in Chicago, so he's 67 right now.
Okay.
Kevin McCorkle is the other guest star. He plays the alien captain from the warships when they start attacking us late in our story.
Yeah.
He was born 1958 in Long Beach, California. He's 63 years old right now.
Mm.
Okay, so we open up. We open in Cargo Bay. Seven of Nine is in her regeneration pod. And I just got to say, all of a sudden it hit me. How many freaking stations does Seven need in the cargo bay? I felt like there were so many regeneration pods. There's one Borg on our ship. And we've got like so many pods. I don't understand.
You know how I justified that?
How?
I felt that the first pod, the first pod was her Monday pod. Then she regenerated in her Tuesday pod. So just to kind of change it up a little bit, right? She wanted a little bit of variety. She didn't want the same
pod. Don't they do the same thing though?
Of course they do. But this was, this is my justification. This is my justification. Or maybe they felt if one pod malfunctions, there's another one. There's five more to go just in case. Right?
Okay.
Okay. But you're right. It is overkill.
There's a lot of pods in there.
Yeah.
So she gets her supplies organized. She's going to go fix something with Harry Kim.
Yeah.
She's
sensor diagnostic.
Sensor diagnostics. She's got to go do that. So she's getting ready. Then we cut into the mess hall.
Yeah.
And there's Harry and Tuvok playing a little calto.
A little calto action. I love it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Harry is so focused on trying to beat Tuvok, probably for the first time. He's looking at every single angle of this, and then Seven shows up, and she's you know, she's not too upset, but you can tell she's a little annoyed. She's like, okay,
she's a little annoyed, and she's like, let's go. And Harry's like, no, I gotta finish this. He's obsessing, and even Tuvok goes, you should go
you should forfeit. He says, you should forfeit this game and do it to your duty. He goes, heck no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Harry's like, heck no, and he keeps looking. So Seven stares at it for a second, grabs the piece out of Harry's hand, sticks it on the thing, and bam, game over, done.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, when you have Borg implants helping you out,
it's not fair.
That's not fair. Come on.
It's not fair.
What the?
I did laugh, though. It was very funny after she does that and she leaves, and then you take this long beat of just sitting there like, I can't believe she just did that.
Yes.
And then you stand up, and then you lean down to Tuvok, and you're like, I would have gotten that.
Yeah, I would have gotten that.
Yeah, it was funny.
It made me laugh out loud. It was good. It's good. I'm glad I entertained you.
It was funny. Laughed out loud.
So now we have Seven and Harry walking down the corridor, and Harry's still kind of miffed over the fact that she ruined his Kalto game. So he's like, so is this typical of the Borg that they just know everything, you know, of all the species they've assimilated over the years? You know, you must be the smartest person in the whole universe. And she's like, probably. So she's really, I don't even think she understands that Harry is digging into her. You know, I mean, to her, she's just dry. You know, she doesn't have a sense of humor. And I don't think she understands sarcasm or anything like that at this point. She's still trying to be human. So to me, funny scene. Now we jump to the bridge. We've dropped out of warp. There's some type of shockwave that we've been hit by.
Yes.
And Chakotay is confused. And all of a sudden this message comes through and you see this huge Omega symbol on all the displays.
Very strange.
Very strange.
The warp drive is suddenly offline. Mm. We've got weird sensor readings.
Yeah.
We don't know what that means. And nobody can open it.
No,
nobody can open it.
He doesn't have clearance to access this message. None of his command protocols or none of his command codes can
authorizations and codes.
And he's,
nobody can open it. Chakotay can open it. Harry can't open it.
No.
Nobody can. Paris can't open anything. And suddenly Janeway walks in and she goes to a console, types some stuff in. She's on a mission. She says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And heads to her ready room, and then turns
send
around
all
and
the
says,
data to my she goes, send all the sensor data about the particle wave to my ready room and don't talk about this to anybody. Bye. Okay.
Yeah. So we cut inside her ready room, and the first thing she does is seals all the doors.
She locks the doors. Yeah.
Then she's got this big fancy code to unlock. So clearly this is something, like she says, authorization, something, something, something red, number 10. Like as she listed out the code, I'm like, whoa, that's a serious code if it's got red in it. So anyway,
it would have been awesome if she just kind of rambled on for 2 minutes of code. Right?
There's a lot of numbers.
January 1, alpha, beta, exclamation point, underscore, backslash, asterisk. Yeah,
felt like she should have put in an exclamation point in that code somewhere. Yeah.
Exclamation code, donut symbol, and just random stuff, right? And then
that makes me think of, actually, now that you mention it,
what?
Like in Star Trek,
yes,
all of the authorization codes are either just a combination of letters and numbers. There's
That's
no
right.
capitals. There's no. There's no symbols.
No.
There's not a. And even now, for me to log into my Amazon account, I got to put in 6 letters and different cases, multiple cases, and at least 2 symbols or whatever. Like my password to buy, you know, paper towels in Amazon is more complicated than
that.
The simple letter number combo. I mean, I guess the color, that was a thing, red.
Well, clearly, Robbie, Starfleet computers were very hackable. You know, I mean, anybody can get it.
No kidding. Those are simple authorization codes.
But if you think about it, when we filmed this, we weren't really, you know, that in the 90s, no passwords. Well, there were passwords then, but they were very simple. Nobody said include a symbol, include a number, include a capital, include lowercase. That wasn't even there. Now, if you don't do that, God help you. If you don't add all this stuff, you are hacked immediately.
That's why Janeway added red.
Red.
This was super unhackable.
Anyway. I think she should have ended with coffee is what she should have said. Yeah. Janeway Alpha Red Coffee is what she should have said. All right.
So she hacks in with her simple password.
Yes.
And the computer says that sensors have detected the Omega phenomenon 1.2 light years away from the ship.
Very close.
And the computer tells her that she is to immediately implement the Omega Directive.
The title of the episode, right there, in the first 5 minutes of the episode.
Implement the Omega Directive immediately, and
immediately.
All other directives, all other priorities are null and void.
Out the window.
And I wrote, does that include the Prime Directive? Because when I heard that, it was like, all other directives. Prime Directive 2? Like,
because the Prime Directive is the all encompassing directive, right?
That's why I wrote it down, but think about it later on.
Later she does say
she does deal with that. So
she does.
But so I maybe, was like,
maybe yes,
in this
maybe.
Moment it caught me. I was like, whoa, wow, that's serious. All other directives and priorities.
Right. So maybe she has authorization from Starfleet to ignore the Prime Directive.
Ignore
right.
everything, deal maybe. With this Omega thing.
Mm-hmm.
ASAP.
ASAP.
Okay, so then we go to engineering.
Yes.
And Chakotay is giving instructions
to,
on a need-to-know basis to Paris and Torres.
Mm-hmm.
Chakotay says, you know, Paris needs to reinforce the shuttle for extreme heat, and B'Elanna's got to, protect the warp core with some reinforcements there.
Yeah, install multi-phasic shielding the warp core.
Around the warp core. And B'Elanna's like, hey, does this have anything to do with that stuff the captain's dealing with? And Chakotay's like, well, what have you heard? And they say, well, something about some Omega directive.
Right.
And Seven perks up immediately when she hears Omega directive. And Chakotay tells Seven that the captain wants to see her right away. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised at her response because she goes, I assume so, or something like that.
Right.
Like, I got to say, I'm seeing a pattern in Seven, who acts like a bratty little teenager all the time with the captain. Like, and you're starting to see the captain deal with her like a bratty little teenager. Like, okay, here we go again. The know-it-all, the
Yeah, this is my life right now.
Yes, exactly. It's like all the little comments, yeah. Like, why couldn't he say the captain needs to see you immediately? Why can't she just say understood and leave? Why does she have to say,
because
I assume so?
Because she's 13. That's why.
Oh my gosh. She is a 13-year-old girl.
13-year-old girl.
Or boy. Or
I don't know. Would you say, and let me ask you this. I mean, you have both two sons and one daughter. Would you say your 13-year-old sons were more difficult to deal with than your 13-year-old daughter when she was 13? Or was it?
I think, yes, they were equally difficult.
Equally.
I would say that it has nothing to do with
gender.
The gender of the of the child. It has nothing to do with that.
It has to do with the person.
It's the age and the temperament of that particular young person. But
right.
The majority of those young people act like 7 of 9 sometimes. Yeah. Like they know it all and they're going to do what they're going to do. And there's no respect for anything else other than what they decide is important.
My cousin, my young cousin, he told his dad, he basically said, I don't need to go to university. Everything I need to learn, I can learn on YouTube. I can learn online. I have no need for any higher learning whatsoever. I don't need to go to college. That was his exclamation, as a teenager.
YouTube. Sure.
Yeah. I learned it all from YouTube. I have no need for secondary learning.
In a way, I think he's not wrong. I think you can learn a lot. Like, information is out there.
Yeah.
But part of what you learn going through high school or college experiences is the maturity process and the kind of being accountable for things and like
learning responsibility, learning interpersonal relationships with your roommates for the first time, learning
how to be polite,
which
Seven hasn't learned yet.
No.
She doesn't know how to be polite to anybody.
No, she doesn't know. She doesn't know.
Anyway, we go back to the ready room
and
Seven enters the ready room and Janeway immediately asks, what does she know about the Omega Directive?
Right.
And Seven says she knows everything Janeway knows because the Borg assimilated many captains in the past, Starfleet captains.
Mm-hmm.
So only captains had this information, and because they assimilated them, she knows
what
exactly
they know.
What Janeway knows.
Yeah,
and she says to Janeway that the Borg nearly harnessed an Omega molecule. Janeway says, "Well, you know, what kind of sacrifice did you make to have this 1 second of perfection?" Mm-hmm. Of discovering this thing. And she said something like 600,000 drones and dozens of ships and Borg ships.
29 vessels.
Yeah, 29 vessels. And Jamie's like, well, I'm not willing to sacrifice that. I'm not willing. You know, that's where we disagree. Like, Seven confides in Janeway that as a drone, her highest goal besides perfection was to see this molecule firsthand because of her Borg droneness. This is a driving force to see this firsthand. So we will get to that moment at the end of the episode where she has this driving desire finally satisfied. She gets to see the molecule firsthand.
Right. So to the Borg, the Omega molecule represents perfection. And Janeway even makes that comment. She goes, the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
And Seven's like, huh? Because she doesn't get that. But clearly, this is very important to the Borg.
Yeah. And I don't think that can be stressed enough for the story to work and make sense is that to the Borg, it's beyond logic. It's beyond intellect. It is the closest they could come to feeling human in a way is to kind of create this, to have the experience of the Omega molecule.
Mm-hmm.
It's spiritual, it's intellectual, it's all of those
things. Well, you say closest to feeling human. I almost feel like it's the closest to feeling godlike.
Godlike.
To closest to being a deity in a way, right? Well, at this point, Janeway orders Seven to go back to the cargo bay two, and compile all of her info on the Omega particle, the Omega molecule, so that she can see this. And then we jump over to sickbay, and Janeway is now requesting erythrazine from the doctor. Erythrazine is evidently used to combat extreme theta radiation poisoning. And the doctor is like, wait a minute, you know, I can't authorize this. And Janeway's like, well, I'm authorizing it. And he's like, well, whatever you're planning on doing, this is very dangerous. And
he says, I'll do it. It's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Be careful. I hope to see you again after this.
And it was a very sweet moment.
It was a sweet moment between the two. It was
very sweet with the doctor because he did follow her orders, but he was sincerely concerned. You could see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now we're back in Cargo Bay 2. And now Seven is reporting to Janeway that she has detected not one, but hundreds of molecules. Hundreds of these molecules have been detected. And now Janeway realizes, oh my gosh, my original plan of what I was going to do is now kind of void. I have to increase all the fortifications, all the modifications that have to be done, and everything that Janeway had originally planned has to do it by tenfold, a hundredfold almost to take care of these. Yeah.
And Seven even can see this, and Seven, suggests in this scene in Cargo Bay, she says, this is going to require the resources of the entire crew.
Right.
Not just you and me to solve this.
Exactly.
You're going to have to tell them what's going on because they can help.
Yeah,
which is interesting because I think Seven is, she's starting to lay this foundation. It's going to play out later, but
So Janeway asked Seven to transfer all of her data to the Astrometrics lab so that she can continue working on this. Then we jump over to the science lab. We've got Tuvok and Harry. They're prepping a photon torpedo, gravimetric charge.
Are they in the science lab or are they in the transporter room area?
I wrote science lab because I was looking around going like, to me, it looked like the science lab.
It felt like the transporter room background, which was very.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, it did. I don't know why.
Maybe
that was the science lab.
Yeah.
It was hard to tell. It's very
difficult. The angle that they,
very
that was
weird angle.
Yes, very weird angle. And the reason why I say science lab is because there were a lot of wall consoles, and in the transporter room, the only consoles that you see, or the only wall consoles, are behind the transporter chief. They're not located all around the room, So that's why I felt like it was the science lab.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So Tuvok and Harry are prepping a photon torpedo. Mm-hmm. There's a gravimetric charge that is strong enough for a 54 isoton explosion that is being put into this photon torpedo. And at this point,
Harry's like, what are we doing with this? That can destroy a small planet.
Exactly.
Like, what is she ordering us to do?
Yeah. And Janeway pops in and here's the end of that conversation and basically shuts down Harry. You asked too many questions, Ensign Kim. And she says to Tuvok, let's increase this charge to 80 isotons, no longer 54, but 80. And then she orders Harry, when he's done helping Tuvok, to go help out with reinforcing some shuttlecraft hull with B'Elanna. And
now let's just pause there for 1 second. Let's pause. She says, and Harry, when you're done with this, go help B'Elanna reinforce the shuttle hull.
Right.
Well, in the scene with Chakotay, he told me to go reinforce the shuttle hull.
Oh, that's right. So that's a little weird.
Why is B'Elanna all of a sudden taking over? And while we're paused, I just want to throw out there for a lot of the fans who may know this and have been waiting for us to talk about it. This is the episode where Roxanne gave birth to her daughter. She went into labor during this episode.
Oh,
so that's why she's not in the.
That's why she's not in the later briefing room scene.
Briefing room scene where she is noticeably, conspicuously absent from that scene, and that's because she was giving birth. She went into labor and was giving birth. So I wonder if this dialogue got maybe changed. B'Elanna was in some of these other scenes. She may have been in.
Yeah.
She may have been in the scene with you and Tuvok.
Yeah.
Possibly. So I don't know what other scenes she was in, but she definitely was, she filmed the one scene in engineering probably early in the episode.
Right.
And then
she went into labor and she
went into labor and she was written out of all the other scenes.
Everything else. So that makes perfect sense now.
So I'm not going to take it personally that Janeway has now put B'Elanna in charge of reinforcing the shuttle hull and asking you to go help, even though Chakotay already asked me and I was working on it. But
clearly
she's in labor.
We're going to say Tom just said, you know what? I can't reinforce the hull. I have to go work on getting my hair fluffy.
And yeah, fluffier.
Left fluffier.
The fluffiness was very inconsistent in this episode.
It was less fluffy in this episode. So now Harry is starting to talk about all the rumors.
Yeah, he's speculating.
Like, he says Ensign Hickman says it's species 8472. there's an opening to fluidic space that Janeway has to close. And then I love that line. Harry goes, you know what I think? And Tuvok goes, no. I know. He says, do you want to know what I think? And Tuvok says, no. I don't want to know. I have no interest in your theories. Harry thinks there's a type 6 protostar out there that Janeway is planning to detonate, which will then open a wormhole to the Alpha Quadrant, which is, you know, kind of cool, I guess, right? But still, it's just funny that Harry's all caught up with all the gossip on the ship, and he's
caught up with the gossip,
he's trying to get Tuvok into it. Tuvok doesn't.
I also like the fact that he's, you know, it just reinforces that his character, more than anybody, really is hoping to get home. Not that everyone's hoping to get home, but yeah.
Harry just
he wears that hope very, very, you know, front and center.
You know what? So, getting home is his Omega
molecule, yes,
right? Just as the Omega molecule, how important that is to Seven of Nine and the Borg, getting home is Harry's most important thing in the world, right? In the galaxy. He wants to get back. But yeah, good point. You were on the money on that one. Yeah. Okay, so we jump to astrometrics, right? We have Chakotay and Janeway.
Janeway's working by herself. Chakotay enters.
Yeah.
He says, everything's on schedule. And he says, you know, what's up? What's going on? Tell me, can't you tell me what's going on?
Yeah.
She says that she and Seven are departing in a shuttlecraft at 0600 the next day. Mm-hmm. And if they are successful, they'll return. But if not, if long-range sensors detect a big explosion.
In subspace is what it
in
is.
In subspace. Mm-hmm. Then he needs to immediately take that ship to maximum warp, take Voyager maximum warp, and leave the area at once and leave them behind.
Yeah, head to the Alpha Quadrant, never look back. You got 10 Don't seconds to do this. Yeah.
Which and he goes, how can you ask me to do this? He said, you know, why can't you tell me why you're doing this? If you're asking me to abandon my best friend.
Well, okay, let's get the line correct here. He says, if you're asking me to abandon my captain and closest friend to all the JC shippers out there, closest friend, without telling me why.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Yeah, yeah. So he's pleading with her. He's basically saying, look, I need to know
he's
why.
He's pleading, and let me just, you know, again, there's the JC shirt right there. Look at how close they're standing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a nice, it was a really nice scene.
It's and, a good scene.
Yeah.
But he says, look, just let the senior staff in on this. Let us help you. Don't do this on your own. This is not fair, you know, to me, since I'm in love with you.
Exactly. That's what he was thinking. And then she thinks about a long, hard think.
Yeah.
And she says, okay, assemble the troops.
Since I love you too, Chakotay.
Since I love you too. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So now we go to the briefing room, and this is where I was going to talk about Roxanne and Labor, but we've already talked about it. Right. She should have been there.
Yeah, I had no clue. I was wondering what it was. And now you have answered my question, Robbie McNeil. This was her labor.
I do remember when this was all going on.
Yeah. And you're the one that you know, your question, a molecule. So you're doing more science in this episode. Last episode, you were sciencing it. Now you're sciencing it here, you know.
Well, I wonder if they gave me B'Elanna's lines in the scene, because it felt like Paris was... It felt like he was talking more than he normally does.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I made a note at the end of this briefing room scene that Seven and the Doctor, who always are know-it-alls and can't seem to shut up half the time.
They don't say anything.
They don't say a word.
Yeah, Harry doesn't say anything either. So
no.
Yeah.
No.
Right. You're right.
But Paris talks a lot.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like I said, if it was some of B'Elanna's lines, because some of it felt in the B'Elanna's wheelhouse there.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that really makes sense.
But she explains to everybody that the Omega molecule has the same amount of power as a warp core. It could sustain a few of these connected molecules could sustain an entire civilization. Mm-hmm. And that a Federation scientist named Cataract in the 23rd century is who invented this or first synthesized it.
Yes.
The Omega
for Starfleet.
Molecule mm-hmm. for Starfleet. And she said it could be used as a power source. And I think Seven's one line in the scene is,
or a weapon.
Yeah. Yes. And then she tells, Janeway tells everybody about the lab accident. Paris says he's heard of the Lantaru sector.
Yeah.
And that there's no stable warp fields there, that warp travel in that sector is impossible.
Yeah. And then he even says he thought it was a natural phenomenon, right? That you could only fly through there at sublight speeds. You cannot create a stable warp field. But now Paris knows why.
Mm-hmm.
Chain reaction.
Yep.
The explosion of that single molecule was what destroyed all the subspace over there. Mm-hmm. And and so this is the most powerful stuff in the universe, essentially.
Yep.
Right.
And when Janeway says, this could lose our ability to go to warp forever.
Yes.
And then it cuts to Harry along that side of the table where Harry's sitting, and Harry's head goes down in his hands. That was a nice moment there, Garrett.
Really?
So sad.
I was writing notes furiously, so I didn't even see that moment. I completely missed that.
It was a nice. It was like, oh, and it was sad. I clicked it back and watched it again. But
cool.
Yeah, very, very sobering scene. But mm-hmm. now the whole senior staff is aware of what's going on, and so now we can work together. And then we go to the hallway.
Yeah, Janeway's log while she's walking down the hallway to Cargo Bay 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's quite apprehensive about this mission.
Yes.
She talks about other scientists that have gone through, who have seen science and destruction at the same time, talking about the atomic bomb as well, I think, right?
Einstein felt about the atomic bomb. And then she says something about Mark who? Or someone developed the Genesis device?
Yes.
What is the Genesis device?
The Genesis device.
Is that in Trek?
It's mythology? Trek. Yeah. It's not, it's not in the real,
it's not real life.
Yeah. The Genesis device essentially has the power to take a planet which has been completely barren and uninhabitable. And the minute you activate the Genesis device, it then changes, let's say Mars, like Mars is just sand, right? It changes Mars into a lush Amazonian rainforest thing. So it has the power of creation is what it is. And, but the Genesis device definitely had issues and malfunctioned and everything went crazy. So, so that is what they're referring to, the Genesis.
Yeah. Device. But she's clearly worried. And I did notice the extras walking behind her were carrying cases.
Yes,
and I was
they
like,
were.
You never see extras in our hallways, like
carrying cases. Yes.
Carrying cases. It was just weird. It sort of jumped out at me as a unusual thing, but clearly, you know, the senior staff, everybody's got projects going on. So it made sense.
Yeah.
And then we see Janeway enters Cargo Bay. Mm-hmm. And I had a question. I don't know why it just occurred to me. I was like, what is in the barrels that are right next to, like, why so many barrels? Why so many regeneration pods?
What's in, like, the barrels?
Are they Borg juice in the barrels? Or what?
Sardines.
That's what Borgs like to eat?
Yes.
Okay.
So that has become a Borg delicacy.
There's like giant barrels stacked up. And I was just, for the first time, I'm like, why the barrels? Like, and why is Seven sleeping right next to a bunch of barrels?
Yeah. The barrels are, who knows what they are?
I don't know.
That is a good question. Now, do you?
They look cool.
Yes.
I like them, but I just don't.
Now, when Janeway enters Cargo Bay 2, what does she say? Yes. What's the first line that she says?
I don't know. What's she say?
Status report.
The old status report. Not status update.
Not status update.
Not a status bulletin.
I have begun to listen now, Robbie, to every single episode to see if I can hear update anywhere. So
this is status report.
A bit of an inside joke between Robbie and I and the admirals, but
because I always say status update.
Update. Yeah. And I say that's not Trek enough.
That's
it's status report.
It's not the official Trek language.
No. Okay.
At
Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
So after the status report request, Seven does show Janeway the schematics for a harmonic resonance chamber that the Borg designed to contain and stabilize Omega. And Janeway's a little snippy. She goes, "I thought I asked you to work on the photon torpedo." And that's when Seven says, "The torpedo may be insufficient. I can modify the chamber to emit an inverse frequency, which will be enough to dissolve Omega's inner atomic bonds or interatomic bonds." So it's just neutralizing the Omega molecule is what this will do.
And Janeway says, "Well, here's to Borg ingenuity. Excellent work, Seven. We may need this."
Is this the first time she compliments Seven for anything?
I don't know, but it did jump out at me. It was a nice compliment.
Yeah, it was like, what?
And then immediately, I forget what Seven says, but she starts to talk about what she's going to do. And she goes, "Assist me," ordering the captain. And Kate's face after she goes, "Assist me." And Kate was like, Janeway's face was like, "What? Okay." That was the teenager moment. I was like, "Oh my God.
It really was.
And she has a permanent teenager. Yeah.
And Mama Kate was just like, "Oh, teenager is fine. I'll assist you." Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then they start working on God knows what. They're hitting a bunch of buttons. But what I found weird about the scene is they talked a lot about Borg history and about the Omega molecules and all that. I don't even know what they were saying for the most part, why the button pushing. All I was aware of was they kept switching places back. It was like a weird dance move.
Interesting.
I was just like, why are they randomly like moving over here and then moving over there?
Oh, wow.
Like if Seven had to move around and Janeway was in the way, why didn't Janeway just step to the other side out of the way? So she didn't have to, or if they were going to play that blocking as a movement that Seven kept having to move from one side to the other, then they could have played the awkwardness of like, "Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me," or something.
Right.
But it was a weird middle ground where they just kept switching places over and over again. I was like,
a little do-si-do, a little do-si-do.
Which we do all the time in television. It consolidates lighting setups and things like that.
Sure.
But you want to hide it. You don't want it to feel like blocking. That one just felt like blocking to me.
Well, I didn't pick up on that because once again, I was furiously writing down notes about this. And because like when you were kind of tuning out and looking at the do-si-do movement back and forth, I was writing down, okay, so the Borg's history of learning about the Omega molecule is from all the species that they assimilated. And she started going through the most ancient of species, like the first species that they assimilated had talked about how the Omega molecule could burn the sky is what they were talking about, right?
Right.
And then the second species that they assimilated was a little bit more modern, but still very ancient. And they said, this molecule is like a drop of blood from our creator of the universe or creator of our people. Mm-hmm. So that she kind of ran through the timeline of Borg assimilation.
Janeway also makes a point at one moment where she talks about how Omega is kind of like the creation myth in some of these stories that Seven is sharing with her. She's like, "Oh, it reminds me of the creation myth." So again, another kind of religious or spiritual sort of tying together this Omega molecule with sort of a religious or a Genesis kind of idea. You know, that kind of.
Yes, sort of like thing. The Big Bang.
Exactly.
Omega is the reason why the Big Bang happened, or at least that's one of the theories, right? The Omega particle or the Omega molecule provided the energy for the creation of the universe in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we go to the bridge, and Janeway is called to the bridge, and she shows up, and they say that this area of subspace is destroyed, that it's all messed up. Scans reveal that it's coming from a nearby moon of an M-class planet.
Yeah, we're encountering distortions as well on the bridge, and so Harry sort of zooms in, sensors zoom in on the M-class moon and the area where the Omega molecules are coming from,
being detected,
and there are over 300,000 square kilometers of destruction that we see. Just everything is just it doesn't look good. High levels of radiation are coming from the structure that has been decimated, and Janeway decides to assemble a rescue team to head down there.
And first she actually says, though, it looks like the same kind of destruction as the Starfleet facility.
Oh, right.
And Janeway says to Tuvok, scan for Omega molecules. And he scans and he finds nothing.
Yeah.
But he does say some areas of the facility are still intact and shielded. So maybe it's somewhere inside the facility, but I'm not picking up anything right now. So they're contained. Yeah. Anyway, that's when Janeway, you're right, says assemble an away team. And she does say to Tom, she says, hey, Mr. Paris, join us. We'll need a field medic. But
you don't join them, though.
No, I'm never down there.
Oh, my goodness.
She says we'll need a field medic. So I don't know. I mean, it was just an odd specific detail that she would say, join the away team. We'll need a field medic down there. Because then later on, because I made a note of it, I was like, yay, I'm on the away team. And then I started watching. I'm like, where am I? I'm not on the away team.
Did you actually cheer? Did you say, yay, like that?
I did. I got really excited. I did. Anyway, we go down to the planet. We're in the laboratory. And I got to say, the very first thing we see in this destruction, the door opens in the background.
Yeah.
And some extras come out. Some background people come out.
Starfleet?
It's not Starfleet extras. It's not, it's not Janeway. It's not Tuvok. They're following. And I was like, that's weird. We never have... Usually it's our Janeway leading the way or Tuvok leading the way. And then the background people fall in behind.
Right.
But the door opened and we had a couple of background artists come over and start scanning the bodies in the foreground. And then Tuvok and Janeway came out. It was just a strange kind of flip that you don't normally see.
Okay.
But and if you remember, I saw a lot of familiar faces in some of the background artists in the episode.
Sure.
But I couldn't recall all of their names. But But there were a lot of our regular team that were stand-ins and background, and was nice to see them having moments, you know, featured.
Definitely. Janeway comes across a survivor, is an alien research scientist that's kind of laid up against the wall, and she discovers that, at least he tells her, there was an accident, we lost containment, and... The minute he starts speaking, well, first of all, the makeup, I go, wow, that kind of looks like Steph from Vis-a-Vis.
It looks like I first saw Steph, makeup, but then I went, no, it's not Steph.
It's a little different.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
He looks like Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
It's the same shape of the nose of Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
The hair, the way the hair is sort of done back like the prince hair from the cartoon Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
It looks just like that.
But did you catch this? The minute he started to speak, all I could think of was that is Brannon Braga's voice. And then I started thinking, is that Brannon Braga actually in, you know, alien makeup?
Crazy.
And that he played a cameo in this episode, because holy moly, that guy's voice spot on for Brannon.
Did sound like Brannon. Yep. I didn't think of that, but you're right.
And we also find out, Janeway asks, well, are there any more particles, any molecules left? He says, yes, located inside the primary test chamber. And Janeway orders Tuvok to, you know, investigate. And Tuvok says, well, this duritanium is very thick, but it's melted into the door frame. And Janeway says, well, we got to get through. And Tuvok says, well, we can cut through with phasers. She goes, yep, that's what we're going to do.
Let's do it.
And that's when Tuvok says, yes, we're going to
break in the prime directive.
Yeah, we're violating the prime directive. And Janeway says, for the duration of this mission, the prime directive is rescinded. So this must refer to the prior scene then, right?
That's
because
And I thought about that
in the
when it said all directives are rescinded.
All directives.
I was like,
Yeah.
Because you don't hear that word directives very often. So that's why I immediately was like, oh, I wonder if that's a prime directive. Mm-hmm. And here it pays off. So
And
we also know that we're going to cut the doors with the phasers. And Janeway has said, beam back these injured people to our ship, because that'll become important later. We got those guys on our ship now. We're helping them. We're taking care of them.
Yeah.
We go to cargo bay, and we have this really cool high shot in the cargo bay that comes across and sees the dome, which is the chamber, the
harmonic chamber,
which that's the first reveal of this chamber, the resonance chamber. And there's seven working on the resonance chamber.
Yeah.
And she's talking to a crewman, and I didn't recognize that face, but she renames this crew member. She gives him orders and renames him 3 of 10. You will now be known as 3 of 10.
She gives him a designation, a Borg designation, which is very funny, right?
It's very funny. Neelix now comes in, and he's got some supplies. I forget what he had. They were some kind of tubes, some cool looking tubes that lit up green or something. And he's given them to Harry. He says, Seven told me, you know, to give these to you, that you're going to do this whatever with the green things. And Harry's like, nope, I'm going to go play on this console. And then you see Seven kind of looking at him from the back.
But before that happens, this is when Neelix goes, but that's supposed to be Ensign Wildman's job. Harry's like, come on, this is ridiculous. You know, this is, and then of course, that's the sideways glance from Seven in the background, right?
Yeah. Yes. And Seven comes over, and he is not doing the work he's supposed to be doing. He's doing someone else's, and she calls him 6 of 10. And I laughed out loud.
Which she actually said 6 of 10. Yeah. And then Harry's like, will you please stop calling me that? Which is great. She's like, you're being inefficient. And Harry's like, you know what? This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. And then that's what, well, then now you are 2 of 10. So then she demotes him.
And she demotes hip checks you.
Yeah,
she hip checks you out of the way.
Yeah.
Takes over. Now you're 2 of 10.
And I've been assigned to chamber maintenance.
Yeah.
And Megan goes, you're the chambermaid now? I said, no, I'm not the chambermaid. I'm in charge of chamber maintenance. Like scrubbing something. Is it cleaning something? So in essence, yes, I guess I am. I am housekeeping now. So
and I like Harry's line when he goes, well, I'm glad you're not the captain.
Yeah. And then Chakotay shows up, and Harry complains to Chakotay about all of Seven's ridiculous commands and designations. And then Chakotay sides with Seven. He's like,
he does.
Yeah.
You're going to have to adapt.
You're dealing with the Borg. You better learn to adapt. I'm like, ugh, wah, wah, wah. Yeah. Funny scene, though. Yeah.
It was a great scene. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was a nice, light moment in the midst of what was a very dense and heavy intellectual episode. I thought that scene was great.
So if you think about it, Robbie, now it's two times that Harry has entertained you with lightness. Earlier with Kalto, and here being called 6 of 10 made you chuckle too.
And then getting demoted to 2 of 10.
To 2 of 10.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we go to sick bay.
Yes.
And Seven wants to talk to the senior researcher.
Yeah.
And ask the doctor. And the doctor's like, absolutely not. He's recovering.
She insists. Place. Yeah.
She insists. She starts walking over to the surgical bay, and the doctor cuts her off.
Yeah,
he jumps in front of her.
He does.
And they have a bit of a standoff, and he ultimately relents.
He says, be brief. Be brief with him.
Be brief. That's right. So Seven goes over, starts talking to the senior researcher.
Mm-hmm. And she discovers that the aliens have synthesized not hundreds, but 200 million molecules. And so now we're thinking about, you know, what we've learned so far about how powerful this stuff is. 200 million molecules. Oh my goodness. We also learned that the ISO frequency of the containment field was 1.68 terahertz. And then 7 of 9 also talks about how she can beam this stuff onto the ship or bring it over here. And the guy's excited. He's like, so we can save them. And she says, no, we're going to destroy them. And that's when he flips out. He's like, wait a minute. This is my life's work.
He was on death's door, and then he was on death's door.
Yeah, he sits up.
He's like, what are you talking about? He's like begging.
Yeah.
His civilization depends on this stuff.
Yeah.
He wants it to stay safe. And
this is the future of his species. Right. Yep. So this is, and he says, you don't understand this. And she looks at him. She's like, well, no, actually I do, you know, because she's bored and this is their holy grail. But this is the moment where I start thinking, you know, when I'm watching this, I'm like, my goodness, Starfleet does not even know what this is about. Starfleet has not done enough research into this matter. And we are breaking the Prime Directive to destroy this. I mean, this is not fair. And I kept thinking, goodness gracious, this is something that needs to be, that you've got to give more time to it. It can't just be like, get rid of this stuff immediately. Because this alien in this scene, to me, proved that this wasn't a weapon. This was something to save their civilization. Yeah. So, you know, and this is when I started getting sad.
And he also has learned a lot about it because his containment approach at one point, Seven goes, that containment approach is innovative and I can improve it.
Using the resonance of the molecules themselves, which is something the Borg never even thought about and something that Starfleet had never thought about. So clearly this alien race is even more advanced than Starfleet and the Borg combined. Mm-hmm. So that I, you know, at this point I started not liking this episode that much because I felt, oh my gosh, you guys just missed out on something that is amazing, you know, completely.
Well, you know what else happened in this scene besides that made you sad is when Seven leaves and the doctor walks up to the surgical bay and the man who's just pleaded for his civilization, you know, the species future.
Yeah.
And the doctor grabs him by the shoulders and shoves him down.
I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, what
did you shove him down?
Why did you shove him?
Like doc. Doc is sick. He's dying.
Especially when the doc blocks Seven from talking to him. He's like, well, he needs some time to recuperate.
He's very delicate.
He's very delicate. And he's like, take that. Like, it was like, why?
Who? Yeah, that might have made you sad too.
That made me sad as well. I was like, you know, what are you doing, Doc? why would you hurt that man like that? You're the one that was championing his cause, and now you don't even care about his
poor
well-being.
Poor guy, poor beast, poor lead man,
poor Beauty and the Beast lead researcher guy. Oh my gosh, so sad.
We have a shot of the moon surface, and the blue beam that's beaming up from this destroyed, all this destruction. It was kind of cool. It looked to me like that was a collage of shots from the Mojave Desert and out near Lancaster and things like that. They sort of, that often our VisFX department would create these matte shots, they call them, or these kind of VisFX shots where they would collage together some real photos with some painted images and some digital parts. And so that was, that just made me think of the Mojave Desert and things like that, where we shot on Caretaker, the pilot.
That's right.
Same kind of. The
Ocampan home world over there, and the Kazon
kind of like that. So then we go inside the lab on the planet. Tuvok is phasering open the lock. Janeway goes over and uses a little muscle and pulls it open, and there's this bright blue light, which I thought was really well done by Marvin Rush and the lighting team there. And then Janeway calls over an ensign. Who was that ensign? Did you write it down?
No,
it's one of our regular guys.
Yes.
I can't remember. I remember so many faces, but I can barely remember
the blonde guy, right? Was it the blonde guy? I can't remember who this was, but I
made a note. Like, who is the ensign? What's his name? He was one of our regular
background.
He stood in for in the scene, the guy that gets called over by Janeway, that actor and background artist stood in for Neelix quite often. I can't think of his name.
Really?
Yeah, he would stand in for Neelix.
I thought Jerry Fleck's nephew was Neelix's stand-in.
That's who this was. That's right.
Are you sure?
In this scene?
Is that him?
I think so.
Huh.
I'm pretty sure that's...
Okay.
But there were a lot of moments like that where I saw some of our background artists. Yeah. And, that's right, Jerry Fleck's nephew. Jerry Fleck was our first AD.
Right.
He passed away from a heart attack during the making of Enterprise, that series.
And he was the best.
Jerry Fleck was just best. And I forgot his nephew was one of our stand-ins in
Bethlehem. Simon.
Simon, yes.
Is that it? I think I got it.
I think you got it.
It sounds like, I think it's Simon.
He was a good kid and a hard worker, and Jerry was awesome.
Jerry was amazing. He really was.
So she tells Chakotay to complete the chamber up on the ship, tells Seven to complete the chamber. We're going to transport these things into the chamber. This could destroy half of the Delta Quadrant, she says.
Yeah.
That's how much of this Omega molecules are here.
Yeah.
And I love Janeway's line when she says, the final frontier. She says to Tuvok, the final frontier has some boundaries that should not be crossed.
Yeah.
And we're looking at one.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great line.
Yeah. It was a good line.
So they're going to beam it up there to that chamber and they're going to destroy it. That's the plan. Mm-hmm. That's captain's orders right now.
Right.
And that's where we're headed. So we go to Cargo Bay.
Cargo Bay 2. Seven yes. has discovered how to stabilize the molecule using their own resonance as told to her by the alien lead researcher. So she kind of talks to Chakotay about this.
Yeah.
And she's like, look, let me show you a couple things. And Chakotay takes a look. He's like, Yeah.
Simulation.
Yeah. Simulation. But it looks good. You're on the money, Sev. Mm-hmm. And
test it though? How are you going to test it?
Right.
This is just a simulation. How are you going to test it? And she goes, correct. I can't test it.
Yeah.
And he says, well, then
we can't, risk it.
We're going to follow orders.
Yeah.
Destroy this stuff.
Yeah.
And she starts to beg him. This is a personal request.
Yeah.
She gets slightly emotional in this scene.
She does. She really does.
Yeah. Chakotay says, why is this so important? And she tells a little history. She says, this is the Borg designated this particle 010, mm-hmm. and it is perfection.
Yeah. We jump back and forth between Alien Research Facility and the bridge during the transport of the Omega molecules to the mm-hmm. chamber. Then we are back in Cargo Bay 2 and Janeway shows up to confront confront? Mm-hmm. I would say confront Seven, yeah. I guess. Yeah. And Omega is stabilizing at the last second. This is after the decompression of Cargo Bay 2 order by Janeway. And you look inside and all these molecules are now, they're not erratic. They're coming together and they're forming one larger molecule. Mm-hmm. And Seven, the look on her face is just like, and that light on her, and that is the small thumbnail on Netflix, mm-hmm. is the image of the blue light on Seven's face to see the coming together of the stabilization of that Omega molecule, which it's stabilizing on its own. It's not anything because remember, Seven had talked about she's found a way to stabilize it, mm-hmm. and she doesn't do anything. It's stabilizing itself. And I felt so sad at this point because I felt like the molecule was sentient. It knew what was happening, that it was about to be jettisoned out of Cargo Bay 2 and it was about to be destroyed. And it was trying to come together to try to plead with Seven to say, look, this is not right. You don't understand what my nature is, what I'm meant to do. I give life. I'm not a destroyer. I'm not a weapon. I'm not going to destroy this all of subspace. That's what I felt. That's what I got from that scene. And that's when I just got so depressed watching that. I'm like, no.
Well, this scene was intense. This long scene with Janeway and Seven. Because at one point, Janeway says, I don't care if you can make it sing and dance. We're going to get rid of it. And she starts to walk past her and tries to walk past. And Seven blocks her path. Very aggressive.
Yeah.
And Seven says, I should have done it anyway. And I still could. Again, teenager.
See, true teenager. But Janeway's line, I don't care if it can sing and dance. Let's get rid of it, is the same words spoken from every modern civilization about something that they don't understand and that they're afraid of, right? Yeah. That they think is dangerous, but it's not dangerous. And it ends up,
Well, it was dangerous. I mean, in terms of Starfleet, this is the Omega directive. This is
understood.
Not just a little thing. This is, but I agree, they don't know enough about it.
But let's put it let's put it into perspective, Robbie. That accident that happened with the Starfleet physicist Cataract happened over 100 years ago, their technology wasn't as advanced as our technology now on the show, now. And it's like, come on, guys,
I mean, it's interesting. This whole debate you and I are having right now, and then Janeway and Seven have, gets to the theme for me, which I'll get to later on about the theme of this show. But I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
There is knowledge and wisdom and things that we don't understand that are just out of reach sometimes.
Yep.
And to me, the question is, are you ready for that knowledge and wisdom? Are you prepared? Have you prepared yourself well enough to take that knowledge and wisdom on?
Yes.
Are you prepared enough? And also, what are you willing to risk? How far are you willing to go? Because, you you may not be ready. You may not have all the information. And so it is a gamble, those things. And I think that's the debate that Jane Seven's going, this is so important, I'm willing to gamble everything.
Right.
And Janeway's going, I don't feel
ready. I'm not ready.
I'm not prepared. We don't know enough. We got to stick with the destroy it plan. So
yeah,
it's an interesting debate.
It is. It is. And during this, you know, decompression of cargo bay, two Voyagers being chased by two of the alien ships that are trying to, you know, regain their technology basically and what their work. So, and also their physicists, their lead researchers.
The warships have tractored them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They're demanding the Omicron particles. They want their people back. You're holding our people. Chakotay refuses. They're opening fire on them.
Yep.
We back in the cargo bay. They've neutralized at this point 72%.
Right. Which Janeway says that's enough. So she jettisoned, you know, they jettisoned the harmonic chamber. Janeway says, Seven, let's get out of here. We have to go. There's 15 seconds before this entire cargo bay is going to decompress. The chamber is jettisoned. Is it Tuvok? Or Chakotay orders the firing of the photon torpedo, which then destroys the harmonic chamber. And it also destroys all of the remaining Omega molecules that are there. Yeah. And then now after
And Tuvok does a little scan on the bridge, and Tuvok says, sensors show no traces of Omega molecules.
He does say sensors.
Sensors show no traces. Yeah. I love that. Sensors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a long push in, camera push in on Janeway, and a long push in on Seven of Nine.
Yeah.
We cut out to space. We have a little log.
Yeah,
where Janeway says the guests, their guests have been returned to their people.
That's right.
And all the classified data files have been destroyed. Everything is destroyed. This never happened.
Yeah.
No one will even know it exists. That's your sadness right there.
Yeah. Really sad. And then Da Vinci's workshop is the final scene. And we see Seven of Nine.
Yeah. Seven of Nine's there in front of a fireplace. We see in a wide shot, and then we cut into what she's looking at is an old crucifix up on the wall. And she's pondering and contemplating the crucifix. And then Janeway enters and Janeway says, I wondered who was running my program. Master Da Vinci doesn't like any visitors after midnight. Mm-hmm. Seven responds, he protested. I deactivated him. Yeah.
That's like a teenager.
He protested. I deactivated him.
Yeah.
She says, Seven says that she wanted to study the religious ideas that were in the Da Vinci program and understand what she had seen when she looked at these Omega molecules. Mm-hmm. And then they sit by the fire side by side, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
And Seven says, the Borg have assimilated many species with mythologies to explain such moments of clarity. Mm-hmm. I've always dismissed them as trivial. Perhaps I was wrong.
Yeah. And she, before that, she says, for 3.2 seconds, I saw perfection for 3.2 seconds.
You know what's interesting about this? So I understand what Seven is describing, I think. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, it wasn't that amazing. I almost wish we had never seen the Omega molecules.
Yeah.
Because it almost would have been better as an audience to have Seven of Nine describe it.
Right.
To have other people see it and have the audience never see it.
So because the audience can use their own imagination.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because as soon as you cut to it, it looked like a TV VisFX of some molecule. Mm-hmm. It didn't look any more interesting than slides I've seen under a microscope myself.
Understood.
So I wish we had never seen it. That would have made a huge difference to me.
Okay. I that didn't bother me at all. I was all in on Seven and and what she was going through. And, you know, and then Janeway, for me, I felt like, wait a minute, at the end of the episode, you have the nerve and audacity to say to Seven that you just had your first spiritual experience. It's like, you're the one that destroyed her spiritual experience. You're the one that's destroyed what was perfection. It's like, wait a minute, how dare you say that? And all I could think about this whole time was like, it's just, you know, back in the day when people were saying, okay, the Earth is flat, and if you go too far in your ships, you're going to fall right off the edge of the planet, right off, and that's the end of it. But and people were afraid to travel too far, but because they didn't want to risk dying. Mm-hmm. And really, once they risked it, then they discovered, you know, that this.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I think the risk would have been when Chakotay said seven, how are you going to test this? And she said, I can't.
Yeah.
If she could have tested it in any way, that would have been the risk. If you could contain the risk to a test situation where, sure, there may be consequences, but to gamble with whatever it was, 600, you know, million molecules that could destroy, the choice was risk destroying half of the Delta quadrant, the whole quadrant, Janeway says, or miss this opportunity and down the road, maybe, you know, maybe we can try this again.
Yeah.
But they destroyed all the classified data files. So if they destroyed everything they learned, then that's the part that bothers me. I wish they had kept it.
She should have kept it and encrypted it. She should have kept it, encrypted it with her very, very horrible, easy to pass password, easy to hack password, but still it would have been encrypted, right?
Red 10, red 10. That's all you need to know. And you can get into any Starfleet super secret file.
Janeway Alpha birthday cake, red 10. That's it. I, you know what I think it is? Well, the reason I'm going to say right now, Robbie, the reason why this episode resonated with me, or the reason why I was so upset about this episode, is that I feel like the overall lesson, or the overall analogy really is, it's that fear of the unknown. And I felt that the Omega molecule was the unknown.
What did occur to me is the atomic bomb and the atomic energy and things like that, the fear. And there is good and there is danger with atomic energy and atomic fusion. And so learning when we are ready to be responsible with atomic fusion, that's the analogy I made. That seemed like the closest. And the religious analogy, or all of those analogies are really what make Trek stories. That's the beauty of them, is that you can kind of use them as a jumping off point for great conversations and great, you know, reflection and thinking. So I love that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's and if you stay within the parameters of the episode, of the sci-fi, it was so disheartening to see that lead researcher pleading to Seven of Nine, saying, look, you don't understand this. Yeah. This is what's going to save our people, my people. We need this. This is so important to us. You don't get it. And, you know, more often than not, in the world that we live in, when we don't understand something or whatever, it's like, okay, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. You know, I don't know. Yeah. That might be dangerous. That might be contagious. That might cause some type of disease. Let's just kill it. You know, it's always about killing something or eliminating something instead of working with something and understanding something, collaborating with someone or something, right? A lot of things that you don't understand, you need to take the time to try to understand it before you make a rash decision to end the life or end the existence of something or someone. You know, this is, I guess, the lesson for me, really.
Well, my theme, so that's the lesson for you. My lesson would be more of a question of, how much are you willing to risk for perfection? Okay. Or how much are you willing to risk for a spiritual experience? To me, it was more of a question, because I think people's different characters' willingness was very, very different. What they were willing to risk to have an experience with this Omega molecule,
right,
and understand it, and how far were they willing to go? They all had different limits. So that's our recap and rewatch and review with passion of the Omega Directive.
This is the most passionate I've been in an entire over a little old molecule. But yeah, molecule. That molecule meant something to me. It really did.
Yeah, so. I can see that. That was really fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me on this rewatch. It was a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah. All right. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and tune in next week when Robbie and I will rewatch and recap and discuss Unforgettable. Unforgettable.
Unforgettable.
Can you sing that song?
I don't know if it was unforgettable for me. It may have gotten forgotten, but we will see next week, won't we?
Yes.
You'll have to tune in next week to know whether it was forgotten or whether it was unforgettable.
Unforgettable. I wanted you to sing for us, Robbie. I know that you have your singing chops.
Unforgettable.
Thank you.
In every way. Unforgettable, that's how you'll stay. I don't know how many more. I don't
know
the
words. Great. That was really good. Thank you.
Darling, that's what I thought. Unforgettable, that is why something's forgettable too. And this song's forgettable to
me. Okay. All right.
To me. That's right.
All right, everyone. For all the Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.